Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Deadline's new Hollywood podcast, award-winning podcast.
Glad Media Award-winning.
Yes, we have to throw that in there. My name is Amanda Nduka. I'm one of the co-hosts.
And I am Dino Ray Ramos. And today we travel to Zamunda.
Yes.
we have the star of Coming to America, coming number two to America, The sequel, Jermaine Fowler. Yeah.
Yes. And obviously this movie is, you know, 30 years after the original, and everybody pretty much is back, from Eddie Murphy to Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, Sherry, everybody is back. Nobody has aged. Maybe something in the zoom into water, who knows, but everybody looks so good.
So good.
Yeah, this the fashion, Ruth Carter, costume designer extraordinaire. Killed it again. It's funny. There's oh my gosh.
We want to talk about, but we can't, because we want you to experience
exactly.
It
but it's another great celebration of Black people, great comedy. Like I said, you have the talent. Wesley Snipes is in it. I forgot to mention
Tiana
Taylor. That's my girl.
Kiki Layne. Oh God,
Kiki Layne. Oh my gosh, yes. And like we talk about this during the podcast, but it kind of addresses a lot of things that the first movie kind of missed in a sense. And you know, it goes from, you know, everything from misogyny to sort of toxic male culture.
Black identity.
It has everything all together with really good comedy. You have Leslie Jones, you know, you can't go wrong with Leslie Jones.
Yeah, Leslie Jones plays Jermaine's
mom.
I think it's okay. Like, the plot has been out there. Jermaine is Akeem's lost Lavelle. He plays Akeem's long lost son in New York, and he has to go back, and then things happen.
Great Easter eggs from the original, and a lot of, you know, nice new things they brought to this modern version.
Yeah. So. And you know, it is Black History Month, so it's, you know, but we celebrate Black History Month
all
every
the time.
Episode. Yes. We celebrate Asian History Month. We celebrate it all, but
yeah, so, but we can acknowledge that. Yes. We'll acknowledge that, it's just in case you guys forgot. Because I know some people might have forgotten. It is Black History Month, so we are definitely glad to have Jermaine with us for this episode. So without further ado, here is Jermaine. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Congrats on the film. Obviously, we're going to talk about Coming to America, the sequel.
Is that what we call it? Because it's
coming to
America.
just not to confuse anybody with the original. But first, Jermaine, so what we really like to do on this podcast is get to sort of know everybody's journey in this business, because everybody has a unique, interesting story. So for you, where did everything start? Where did you first learn that you were funny? And then when did you first decide to make it into a career?
I gotta go way back. I gotta start with my parents. My parents are very young when they had me. We, you know, they grew up in DC, Virginia, the whole DMV area. It was the 80s, you know, and it was a rough time back in the DMV during that time, you know. However, you can't sulk about it. You got to have a good sense of humor, you know, to just kind of mask a lot of that pain, you know, that trauma that's been going on. And I'm learning that, you know. And, you know, my mom always had an amazing sense of humor. She's definitely one of the funniest people that was ever in the room. She roasted everybody.
I love that. She
verbally destroyed everybody. It didn't matter. Yeah, she was amazing. She was also extremely beautiful. So, like, you know, there'd be times when me and my twin or my little brother and my sister be on the street with her, and like, you know, dudes would catcall her, but she'd verbally shut them down every time. Like, crush them. All their dreams gone.
Does that make you scared to ever? Did that make you scared to ever catcall?
Me? Yeah. Funny. I learned from my mom how to do it.
well, it's interesting. Like, was that like always unexpected? Because a lot of the times people look at like a pretty woman and be all like, they won't retaliate.
They won't talk back, or yeah.
Exactly. So that's what you're trained to think or whatever. Mm-hmm. My mom was such a contrarian. She did everything different. And I never catcalled a woman. Every time I did, it was a joke. You should never call a woman.
Yeah.
Ever. It's disrespectful.
Probably not. Yeah.
However, the one time I did catcall a woman, probably the first time I ever catcalled a woman, it was a joke. So me and my friend Gerard, we were driving down the street near Target. Target was huge when we were kids. Like, it was where you hooked.
It still is.
Target.
Target.
Listen, back in the day, it was a 7-Eleven parking lot, and then when they
it
built
was a thing.
Parking
yeah, lot, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And one day, you know, me and my friend, we were always pranking people. We were always just, this is what we did back in the day. And at one point, I saw a really beautiful woman walk down the street, and I jokingly stuck my head out the door, and I said, "Hey!" And then Gerard stopped the car, and I was stuck right there in her face. I was like, And then she goes, "What's up?" And I was like, this wasn't supposed to happen. I wasn't
good one. To
and I'm sorry. And then she asked me out.
Oh, look at that. Oh my God. It's like reverse psychology, kind of.
She got me because I was stuck. Yeah. Most dudes do get stuck when they do that dumb shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
No one has a follow-up. No nigga has a follow-up.
Exactly. They never expect you to turn around. Like, so
no. And when it like, does, it's just like, this is the dumbest thing. Right. I didn't think you turned around, baby. Yeah.
Who were some of the people you looked up to, like the comedians or performers?
It's definitely growing up, Eddie, number one. Tracy Morgan, Martin.
Wow.
Always love what he did. I remember Tracy, it's always fun. I remember he did this cameo on Jay and Silent Bob a long time ago. I'm the most random guy. I remember the smallest cameo you ever did, I will bring it up to you and tell you how much I loved it. And I definitely told Tracy. It just always stuck with me. And then you got, you know, of course, Martin and Mike Epps growing up, Cat Williams, Whoopi. Those are all the, you know, they all came later. When I was a kid, what really made me, what really stuck with me was The Simpsons. I was a huge Simpsons dude. And I remember I would try to like emulate all the voices at school. I would always get in trouble. Always get in trouble. Me and my I remember when I was in me and my cousins would try to do like deaf comedy jam competitions and stuff, like make these live competitions in my Aunt Kathy's house. We all had a sense of humor in the house. We all did, because we were just all, you know, going through stuff. Everybody was going through stuff. But humor was one thing you couldn't take away from us ever.
You can never
break our spirit, you know, no matter what. And we had thick skin. Like, you couldn't offend us, you couldn't do anything to us that we, you know, it just was hard. So that's the house I grew up in. But I was definitely inspired by everything around me. Music, made me laugh. I've always loved Redman. Redman was hilarious growing up. The whole Wu-Tang Clan, like, they were just funny, man. I can't remember anything that didn't inspire me, honestly.
I actually remember Redman. There was an episode of Cribs with
the best episode.
Cribs.
That episode, he just kept it 100, like, real.
Yeah, because at that time, everybody was renting out their cribs. They weren't. It wasn't their real home.
Oh my gosh, really?
Hell no.
Oh, I didn't even. Well, I guess most people don't. Most of these, don't they rent most of the time, like Mariah Carey and stuff, or do they?
They're not there the whole time. Yeah. I remember when Destiny's Child, their Houston home, when they did cribs, and I was like, we don't live there.
It's not where they live.
No, yeah.
It's not. And they tried to do that to Redman, and Redman was like, no, I ain't saying this. No, I'm not doing that. And Redman had the best episode because he kept it 100.
He did.
That also Redman.
He was keeping, I remember he was keeping money in a shoebox on top of his refrigerator.
And his cousin, during filming, his cousin was still asleep in the living room. Like, it was Jersey. It was just so Jersey, man. I've always enjoyed, like, just everything, man. Mm-hmm. I've always watched. It wasn't just stand-up I would watch. I had to watch cartoons. Daffy Duck was a huge inspiration to me as a child. I went back and realized, like, Dave Chappelle was inspired by, like, Bunny. And then you look at Dave Chappelle's cadence when he was, like, coming up, very Bugs Bunny, like, it was buck teeth and, like, the way he slouched, is very tight, you know, hey, mate, talk like, that's Bugs Bunny. And I was big Daffy Duck fan. I just love how he just was so frustrated about life. And
I like, you studied the icons. I like that. Daffy. Those are legends, honestly, comedic legends.
Looney Tunes gets, it's classic comedy, man.
It is.
You go back and you watch all those episodes and you realize they still hold up, number one. Not the racist one. There's some racist one. But
there are Looney Tunes racist?
There's still racist moments. There's a lot of racist moments.
Yeah, it is.
I know there are a lot of sexist moments, like, but I wasn't aware, or I wasn't paying attention.
I think they might be, like, episodes might be available on some streamer. Somewhere.
There was a lot of propaganda. There were a lot of ones that were very offensive to, like, a lot of, you know, they had some Asian illustrations that weren't very.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Remember that there was a mammy on Tom and Jerry. Remember that?
Yeah. There was.
Why didn't I notice this before?
And we Jerry, where y'all going? Like, all that. Where's Tom?
Shit.
But the thing is, they would never show her face, right? It would always be
just her
legs.
Just her ankles. It was rude.
but even her ankles were racist. Like,
Then they drew ash on it. I don't know.
Okay, you guys, we're ruining Looney Tunes for everybody.
Looney Tunes is canceled.
You're about to get Looney Tunes canceled. Like,
They've learned, I guess.
It has definitely changed. Tiny Toons is dope, though. I think Tiny Toons.
Oh, I love Tiny Toons. I love Tiny Toons. I love that whole era of Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, and
Animaniacs. Pinky and the Brain.
That was very smart. Pinky and the Brain was extremely smart. Very, very meta. Amblin had some great cartoons. Freakazoid.
They did.
A lot of that stuff.
When Animaniacs came back to Hulu, I got so excited. And I've been watching that. And
good?
How modern it is.
That's good. You watch the remake of, not the remake, but they made a Rocko's Modern Life movie. And
I have not watched that.
You watch it. It's very good. It does a very good job of just modernizing a lot of the jokes and, like, just the theme of it in general. It's really good. I love Nickelodeon stuff too, like all that, Keenan and Kel.
Oh my gosh. We had Kel on here.
Kel on our podcast.
Yeah. He's great.
He's the coolest dude, the nicest guy.
We
worked on the All That reboot and we couldn't have done it without him. And he's truly, like, just the nicest, funniest man. Like, I love that guy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and just talk about Coming to America. you know, so it's like, what is your connection to the original? I'm gonna guess you were a fan. I'm gonna take this wild guess you were a fan. But like, what do you remember, you know, when watching it when it came out, or the first time watching it, and how did you connect with it?
The original came out the year you were born, right?
Yes, you're 88? Exactly.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it came out the year I was born too.
I mean, okay, so now yeah. I'm feeling old. Okay, no. What was like the first, when you first watched it, or when did you first watch it?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Here we go. So it came out, I think the summer of 1988, of course. I was a month old when it came out. But that was in my house every day, you know?
Really?
So like I said, humor was in the house all the time. Mm-hmm. That movie was definitely in my house playing, grooming me. You know what I mean? Like, it was just that's what it was doing. You know what I mean? I was like, wow. You know, like, I'm sure my mom was just like quoting that every day in the house when I was a kid. And I just remember watching it for the first time. I was like 8 or 9. I'd have been like 8 or 9, to be honest. And I really resonated with the barbershop scene with Clarence. The one thing I do remember is just like, Kunta Kinte! That. And that is the, like, it was so, it's so funny. Because one, it's a Jewish dude yelling that to an African dude played by Eddie Murphy. Like, it's just so many layers to that, right? Number one. And I've always loved when Clarence, when he explained to everybody that he met MLK and MLK
Martin Luther the King
in the chest because he thought he was somebody else.
Yeah.
Once again, why would MLK punch him in the chest? Who did he think he was? The layers of those conversations are just so, that's the barbershop for you, man. They just, you know what I mean? You can walk into a conversation at the barbershop and it's the best story you've ever heard. And he really
had
that, you know? At the same time, when I was a kid, the comedic moments truly resonated with me, but it wasn't until I got older and started to appreciate the dramatic moments with James Earl Jones and John Amos, how amazing Sherry was as Lisa, you know, his mom, like all these characters were special. But as a kid, you don't really know until you get older and you start to really mature and grow and see what these themes were. Just everything about it was perfect. You know, like, you can't have comedy without good drama, and you can't have good drama without some good comedy. Like, I think you can, both are just married to each other, and it's just so much truth to comedy, and there's something so truthful to Coming to America that just has stuck with me to this day. And it's the best movie ever made, man. It's like top three.
And might I add that Sherry has not aged a day. Like, I'm like, oh, what is going on?
You know, like, most movies have a curse, you know what I mean? Like, Exorcist, you know, has a curse. You know,
yeah.
There's a couple movies like that. I think Coming to America has like an anti-aging curse.
Yeah.
No, everyone looks the same.
No one is aged. Arsenio looks the same. Eddie looks the same. And John Amos, man, he looks the exact same. And no one is aged. It's beautiful. That's why I say it's the blackest movie ever made, because
It was a very black movie, and I was very excited. We have to talk about that. I mean, we were talking about like that movie. It was just so. I mean, first of all, we had shout out to Ruth Carter for the costumes.
Those costumes.
My freaking goodness! Like, she did it once again. Like, it's amazing. But I just love how they updated it, and like, even the barbershop scene was updated to like incorporate some modern jokes. And it still had the same sort of sensibility that the original had, and I really, really enjoyed it. So when you first heard that the sequel was happening, what was sort of your like initial reactions, initial thoughts?
I was just curious, you know. I was very excited, but after that, I was very curious as to who was coming back. Mm-hmm. And when Eddie said, when I found out Eddie was coming back, and I found out that Arsenio was coming back, and I found out that John Amos and Sherry and James Earl Jones and Louis Anderson with all of them.
I like how he went to Zamunda and he's working and he's McDonald's.
Yeah. It's so funny to me.
Dino, don't spoil the movie. Spoil.
Oh, sorry. It's okay. Coming out before. Spoiler.
I mean, it's not a big one, but.
It's one of my favorite cameos in the movie because it's so unnecessarily hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They went the length. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's so important from the original. And my issue with sequels these days, you know, y'all probably around my age, you know, it's just like they become hollow because they don't get the people who made the original so special.
Yeah.
You know, they feel like cash grabs. They disrespect the fans. They disrespect the audience that held it up, you know, that love it, that appreciates it so much. And so I love that they brought everybody back, you know, they brought everybody back. And I feel like that's where the heart of the movie is. And however, they gave us the room and the space to give the new blood sort of what they need to do to kind of like, you know, be great in our own way and like give us the space and the comfort to just depict these characters the way we want to depict them. So I appreciate Eddie and like Arsenio and Craig and John for the guidance, and Sherry for the guidance. Because, you know, they could have easily, you know, not been there for us, but they totally were. They totally were. And I think the movies like that are better for that. You know, they were so perfect to work with.
Yeah.
I think like Louis Anderson being in it's funny. It's because it shows that Akeem and his friendship lasted all that time.
See, and doesn't that make you feel warm? Like, doesn't that make you feel good? That's what you want to see. You want to see, you don't want to see like, you want to see cameos that pay off. You want to see cameos that kind of service the original, you know? You want to see, because it just, that little cameo from Louis is a big cameo. That's a huge, it tells so many stories, man.
You wonder what that conversation was between him and Akeem. Like,
exactly.
Akeem say, hey, you want to move to Zamunda and work at McDowell?
Exactly. that awareness is beautiful, man. I love that.
Yeah.
It actually adds the layers to the movie. Every scene and like every frame is important, you know, to the fan service and the nostalgia and just that feeling you get when you felt from the first one, you know, all that's important when you're building a new world that's supposed to, extend from its predecessor. I really think that's important, man. I really do.
You know what I also really liked about this film that sort of stood out to me? I loved how this film, even with the comedy and, you know, bringing all the characters back, I love that it addressed sort of the misogyny. especially like the first one kind of had a misogynistic undertone, like he's making somebody, you know, stand on one foot and bark like a dog, like you know. And I loved how they sort of addressed that in this film, and they really, I don't want to give too much away, but I just love how they talked about it. And then this is something that it was sort of important for people especially for I know it's a fictional African country, but especially for African culture, where we sort of deal with that issue in our society. I'm Nigerian, so I know misogyny. Like, we still try to deal with it till this day. I was just talking to my friend. This is good. I was talking to my friend, and she said that her dad had sent her an article about how women shouldn't shave their pubic hair. And like, it was just like, and it was like her dad telling her not to do that. But it was just like, what? That's not your, and then he, when, you know, when she was sort of arguing, he was like, well, that means I have to bring you back to Nigeria. And it was just really like, you know, a lot of old school way of thinking. So I'm glad that this film really, really sort of addressed that issue in our culture.
Yeah,
it all needs to be addressed.
Yeah,
I have a daughter, man. I love my daughter. I want my daughter to grow up in a world where she doesn't feel scrutinized, and you know, I want her to feel comfortable in the world she's in. You know, it's my job to help, you know, bring that to her. You know, no matter what. You know, if I hear some, you know, I grew up in a family where, like, you know, a lot of the dudes kind of, they like that too, you know what I mean? Women should be this, women should be doing that.
Yeah.
But you know, we got moms and sisters and aunts, and like, how would you feel people disrespected them that way? Or now you mad, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's annoying, number one. And I'm glad the movie addressed that, because it's one, it's extremely important, but however, it doesn't matter how like glitzy and glamorous and glorious a place looks. It's always going to be somebody who's kind of suffering. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It isn't until you, you know, open your fucking eyes and like listen and start, you know, really hear people and give them a voice, that you just start to know that and learn that. And that's kind of the theme of this movie, is that, you know, there were promises made. There were systemic issues that should have been addressed that were not. And my character, Lavelle, doesn't really know that about this country. He kind of gets this opportunity and kind of squanders it at first and sees it as a vacation instead of trying to help. He's very selfish. But you got to think about where he comes from. He's never had to deal with anything like this. He's never had anything. So he doesn't really know what's going on until he actually starts to listen and understand.
Yeah.
So I love that. And you know, you look at the growth. Look at the growth from the first movie. I think what they did such a good job of kind of, I like that they didn't depict Akeem as the bachelor. He's now a dad. He's now a man, you know, with a family, and he has a queen to support, and they support each other. And but it isn't until the situation props up where his back is against the wall and has to figure out what to do. And you're kind of watching this movie like, what is Akeem going to do? What is he going to do? He's struggling. He's tethered between two worlds, two people, two families, and is stuck. Mm-hmm. And it isn't until the women speak up in this movie when they're like, dude,
yeah,
know what to do. Do it, you know, do it. And I love it. Without the female voice in this movie, the characters, the men in this character don't go anywhere.
Yeah, the women definitely pay. Like Leslie.
Leslie, Leslie.
You know, Sherry's guy, they all play a very important, Kiki, everybody plays a very, and I love how women really played an important role in this film.
As they should.
As they
do, you know? I totally hear you when you say that. I love it. That's going to resonate.
Actually, and I love the fact that they wrote that Akeem has three daughters, and that kind of just, you know, introduces a whole kind of dilemma for him, and it questions the whole thing of legacy, and even with the first coming to America, there's this immigration storyline. It's like that's just baked in, that, you know, I think we'll, you know, probably a lot of people won't like, I mean, I just like to dissect things. So I'm like, oh, this is like an immigration narrative. And it's kind of the same thing here. And, you know, about, you know, not just like Black culture, but, you know, for me, it's like, sometimes, am I Filipino enough? Or am I American? It's that whole thing of cultural identity.
People are going to take everything away from this movie. There's so many things about this movie. Identity, purpose. There's so many things you can take away. And what you just said, I'm going to just speak on it. Like, what Lavelle, what he goes through is this, this crisis of purpose. You know, he hasn't had much in his life. And now he's kind of going through this, what am I supposed to be? Who am I? Where's my dad? You know, all this stuff. It's just so much turmoil building up inside of him, you know, and he gets this opportunity. To do something with his life. And even then, he doesn't feel like he's enough, you know? Mm-mm. And but he's not the only one who feels like that. Mika feels like that. Marimbe, in ways, feels like that, you know? And I think everyone in this movie is trying to find their purpose. Every single one. And it happens when you're faced with moments like these, when you have to pack up and move somewhere else and kind of acclimate to a world you're not used to and be someone you're not, you know, for a group of people you never even fucking met.
Yeah.
All those things are very real, very, very real, man. And to go with, you know, what you were saying about Akeem having three daughters, I love that he has three daughters. And the reason why is because Also, I love that he has three daughters and people see that as weak, number one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Culture sees it as weak. And I'm like, excuse me? You know what I'm saying? Number one, it's just wrong. And it's addressed. And I love that it's addressed. Yeah. I grew up with a neighbor of mine in my old apartment complex, and he had nothing but daughters. Mm-hmm. Nothing but daughters. He had probably four daughters who were different. Every single one was different. And they were funny. They were athletic. One was a tomboy. The first one was a tomboy. She was I know why she was a tomboy, because he probably wanted a son, and he probably you know raised her to be kind of a boyish sort of you know girl or whatever. And it is what it is. And I think people would make fun of him, like, you got a number of daughters, man. And you know, he would kind of like, he wouldn't even stand up for him. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. Those kids are going to, they're your kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Take pride in your kids, man, and they love you. You should love them equally. I love my kids, man. I love my daughter, you know. And you know, it's a generational thing that needs to be addressed. And I feel like what's good about this movie is that people get to have these conversations in their house and in the comfort of their house when they watch this on TV, and they get to, you know, people from the original are going to watch this and explain to their kids where they were. How it made them feel when they first saw it. And the youngsters are going to be like, they're going to have their own opinion about the original and this one. And they're going to start conversations that are, I think, extremely important no matter what. And I think that's all we can ask for is a dialogue, an honest dialogue.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so funny because there are still some countries that, you know, still look down on having firstborn daughters. Yeah. And you know, it's so archaic. And I like how basically coming to America is it's kind of this medicine wrapped in something sweet, I guess.
Yeah. You would say.
'Cause it addresses all these issues that kind of were relevant when it was released in 1988, and they're even
definitely relevant now. Right? Yeah.
Things people are talking about this stuff, and it needs to be talked about, which is why I'm glad. I got lint in my mouth. but I'm glad they trusted sort of the new blood of the movie to kind of help execute those conversations and those themes, because they are important. I think people want substance in the things they watch these days. They want to know what they're laughing at. They want to know where these thoughts and these feelings and these situations sort of come from. There's a lot of context in this movie that I feel is really rich. Mm-hmm. I love context. You know, negative or bad, I love to know why a person is the way. The way they think, the way they talk. I want to know why they are that, you know.
Yeah.
This movie does a great job of, you know, giving you context to Lavelle, his mother, Akeem, and what he's struggling with, King Izzy, and his, you know, his family, and his daughter and his sister, and all these things are so beautiful. And I think it's time we start to, you know, I think compassion's important too, man. I think
a
little bit of empathy, a little bit of compassion, a little bit of patience as well, but also not letting that slow progress down. And this movie feels like a truly worthy sequel. And I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a celebration of Black folks. It comes out March 5th. Do you see it? Do you see another film coming out of this?
I hope so.
I know there's nothing has been official, but
I hope so. It'd be nice.
Okay. Have you heard of any rumors, talks, chatters?
Do you want to break that news on this podcast? Because we are deadline.
What did Eddie Murphy tell you? What did he say?
Do I want to get fired on this podcast? Oh, man.
Okay. We don't want to get you fired. We don't
want to. No, I'm joking. I haven't heard anything, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if there was a sequel. If there is a sequel, which I believe and hope there will be, this is why I hope there's a sequel. The original did such a great job of really fueling that curiosity of what Zamunda could be. Mm-hmm. You know, I think after people watched it, you know, every Black person was like, everybody was just like, what is this Zamunda? I want to go there. You know, what is this place? Because the first one took place in Queens.
Yeah.
You know? And I truly believe that this next one, if there's a next one, I would love to see them kind of expand on Zamunda a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
I did a great job in this sequel with like, you know, the overall sort of expansion of Zamunda with the currency and like the political structure, addressing all those things. I think they did a great job with it. But I think the third one, I would love to see a story about the people that make Zamunda. They work for us. I want to see that. I want to see the marketplace. I want to see how that...
Outside the palace.
That'd be interesting. Like,
You know, because I travel and, you know, well, I used to travel.
We all used to travel.
It just sucks because, like, you know, I would go to, like, you know, places like South Africa, and I would go to these hotels, and I'd be pretty much kind of serviced by these maids and these the maid service or the, you know, butlers or whatever who were in these hotels that were frequented by European folk, you know what I mean? But all the people who worked at the hotel were all like African folk, all black people. And no one said thank you. No one had any manners. They treated them like crap. They treated them like they were supposed to be doing this for them. Like, like this is what it's supposed to be. That's how, you know what I mean? And one day I met, I was in the parking lot getting in my car, and one of the guys got me my car, and I saw his name tag. And let's say his name was like Danny. And I was like, your name's Danny? And he goes, yes. And I was like, your name ain't no damn Danny. What's your name, man? And he told me his name. And I said, well, why won't that be your name? Why can't you put that name on the name tag? And he goes, well, it's hard for people to pronounce. And I went, yeah. And I went, so? And he went, what do you mean? I'm like, that's your name, dude. That's your name. And I think, you know, that was one, I was the only brother in those hotels. I was the only brother in the hotel. And I had the manners. I said thank you, all that stuff. And I told him, yo, you should really use your name, man. That's just your God-given name. The next day I saw him, I was saying goodbye to everybody at the hotel and everything. I saw him again. And I saw him. He was just like, hey, Jermaine. I was like, what's up, man? And he goes, you see my name tag? I was like, oh. And then, and it was all those little things, man. They mean so much to, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, that's his name. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his name. And again, that goes with, you know, the theme of identity in this movie. Yeah. Never run away from who you are, or where you come from, you know?
That's like just like a story for a lot of immigrants, right? Especially here, like a lot of my Asian friends, they have these names from China, and then they come here and they're like, oh, just call me Jenny. Frank. You know?
Yeah. You ain't no fucking Frank. You know? it's so funny, man. It's also kind of tragic, but at the same time, it needs to be addressed, you know? And those are the folks, like those folks work at the townships that were like down a mile away from the hotel. Like they would either walk to work or drive to whatever it was, they'd get to work. So I want to go to the township of Zamunda.
Yeah.
I
want to
kind of experience that culture.
Ooh, in the real, okay. Yes. Put that real, out there. Let's put it out there.
We'll make that happen. We'll just announce it on deadline.
Okay. Hey.
Let's make it
viral.
Okay, so Jermaine, what's next for you? What can you tell us? And what haven't you done yet in your career that you're really itching to do?
That's the question I like.
Okay.
Well, the reason why is because I feel like we live in such an age where there's lack of surprise with, you know, cinema and TV. I think it's
because,
you know, everyone's always announcing and always, so that even the trailers give away too much, and lack of surprise is not there. And I don't want to say too much about what I'm working on, but I will say I'm very proud of it. And ever since coming to America, I told myself, like, I want to expand, and I want to really show my growth as a man and as a dad and as a person, as an actor. And I want my projects to reflect on it. I truly like believe that my curiosity fuels like my art, and I want to chase roles and, like, you know, projects full of stories that people are afraid to tell. Like, I want to do things people are afraid to do. I want to do things that I'm not supposed to be doing. I want people to feel something, whether it's good or bad. I want them to feel something. I want them to be offended. I want them to laugh. I want them to feel from heart. I want them to feel everything. So for me, like, that's what I'm working on. There's a lot of things I'm working on, but like from animation to film and TV, a couple biopic ideas. I will say, I will say though, I want to play Little Richard in a movie. Like I want.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, that's my goal. I want to play Little Richard so bad.
We got a little bit of your singing abilities in this movie, or musical abilities.
Yes.
So we got to see more.
That's it's the next logical step. Coming to America, Little Richard.
Little Richard. Yeah.
I'm cool with that, man. I love.
Wait, would you perm your hair?
That is the most dangerous question I've ever been asked. Like, I've been asking you so much.
How else do you get those curls?
Yeah, you have to. Unless it's a wig.
Or
get fully into character and perm.
You have to. To me,
like a weave. You can do a weave.
I can do it. But no, I want to do what he did. Like, I want to
It's going to happen.
Yeah. That'd be great. You know, get the pancake makeup, all that stuff.
Nice. Okay, so we like to end this our interviews with a segment we call the FAQs, or the facts, just sort of fun questions to wrap everything up. So your first question is, we are over a year into a pandemic. What has been your source of self-care?
I love you. that's all I'm about right now is that. I think that's why this is happening. I think we were supposed to be in lockdown. So we can care for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think because of the distractions with our phones and with the world in general and all that, like we forget about what's most important, and that's us. And I think if we can start to really think about that and really, really, really take care of ourselves, like the world would be better. It'd be better. I truly believe that. And I've been, every day I wake up, I have my vision board right here. Let me show you my vision board.
Oh, yay. Oh.
Yes. Ooh, vision board. Come through a vision board. Is Little Richard on there?
Oh.
actually, not Little Richard, but Basquiat's on it. Hold on.
Oh, nice. Oh. I could definitely see that. Yes.
I got Basquiat right here.
I see it. Yeah.
That is my family from Maryland. My bro Jamal.
Who is that ripped dude right there?
That's Jerome. That's my twin, Jerome.
And my mom. Shoot.
Yeah. And that's my family. I'm not in the picture. That's my grandma right there. But my goal is to get, you know, to build a home for all of us below.
Oh, I love that.
And then this is my yin and yang right here.
Yes.
Help myself kind of just be at peace with present and my past.
I see you have Richard Pryor on there.
Richard Pryor. Good.
You gotta have
a classic comedy special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Below that is this wrestler whose body is amazing.
Yeah, that's who I was like wondering.
Oh my god, I thought that was like a video game character that looks unreal.
Nah, man, that is a man. That is Kota Ibushi.
That is a man.
Yeah, that is a man.
Okay.
I want to build a production studio right
here. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
do you just look at the board and meditate, or what do you do with your vision board?
I look at the board. I'm really in touch with Earth. I've always been since I was a kid. So I really meditate and focus on my energy. I focus my energy on these projects, these things. Last year, my vision board had Eddie Murphy on it. And
there you
go.
You need to add Little Richard on there. I do vision boarding as well. And it's just a good way to remind yourself. And
But also like it's also okay, like to me, like there are steps you should be appreciative of, you know what I mean? Say you don't get the John Basquiat movie or whatever, like there's still things you should be appreciative of, you know, the goals to get there. You should always, don't be so rough on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Always see small wins as wins, you know? There are small wins, and you should really be proud of yourself when you get them. And then I go to this CBD place, and I pick up CBD pills.
We are very much in support of that here.
I'm not a big THC fan, kind of in my head, you know, but I do CBD. It just relaxes me. Then I go to the medical spa and I get, I don't eat too healthy sometimes, at McDonald's earlier. So
McDowell's?
Yeah. McDowell's Golden Arches. Yeah, I just try to, you know, I go to the medical spa and I just, you know, get like a shot at like B12 or.
Mm. You know, you
take
do
care of yourself. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's inspiring. Good.
I do.
Really
do. I do.
So you were a contestant on RuPaul's Celebrity Drag Race. I'm a big Drag Race fan. you know, Miss Mimi Teapot and Bob the Drag Queen was your mentor. I mean, I just wanted to mention all that because I love that. Well, side note, are you watching this season?
I don't watch TV.
Oh, okay. My goodness. No way. Not even, what about if you're in it?
No, I don't watch TV. Oh.
Wow.
I was just gonna ask, like, I don't know if you can answer if you don't watch, but like, if is there another reality competition show that you know of that you would want to partake in?
That's funny. Well, I know of everything on TV.
Okay.
Watch Atlanta. You know, I'm trying to catch up on I May Destroy You, stuff like that.
Yes.
All that stuff. I know what's on TV. I just stopped watching it because there's a lot of TV shows out there. And
it gets overwhelming. It's
fucking hard to keep track of. Like, I'm like, you know how dedicated you gotta be to keep up with it's a lot. So the only shows I have watched and have rewatched are like Atlanta and I watched Seinfeld, you know, since I watched Mandalorian is my shit.
Of course.
I watch a lot of it. But I do watch movies. I watch movies religiously because I'm in and out. Like, it's like an hour and a half is over. Like,
TV, I feel you.
It's a dedication.
It's like 10 hours, yeah.
Yeah. What other reality competition would you want to be in?
As always, Drag Race is number one, period. I'll always come back to that one. Like, it's funny because, like, I know late shows all have this competition where, like, you know, they have to, you know, they have, you know, they struggle with, like, you know, securing guests because they're afraid they might go to this late show and that late show and stuff. And I wonder if, like, reality shows have that problem. If they do... I'm always going to choose Drag Race no matter what. I've always always been interested in like coming back and being like an honorary Kavina guest. You know what I mean? Like, Kavina judge or something for like the Snatch Game.
This season is so good. And plus they shot it during COVID. So there's a kind of like that extra layer.
I was there. They brought me back to do, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but you know, they did bring me back to do a little segment, which was really cool.
Okay. I'm going to look forward to that.
I have a
Drag Race Fantasy League too. So,
hey.
Dino is all in on Drag Race.
I'm all in.
Okay. So this is a would you rather question. Would you rather lose all your memories from birth to now or lose your ability to make new long-term memories?
This is a hard one.
This is a very hard one.
that would mean I'd forget my mother, you know? That's some like Eternal Sunshine, the Spotless Mind.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah. It's a great popular film, by the way. I gotta choose losing my future memories.
Mm. Oh yeah.
At least up till now, I'll still remember my kids being
born.
Sorry I chose this question. This is a dark question.
Very dark question.
You put me in a bad headspace. I get it. You know what I mean? But I'm just joking. I'm fucking.
It's all in fun.
Yeah, it's all good. But don't worry about it. I would choose the latter. I choose.
That's hard. I was thinking about that one too. I don't know which one I would choose because I have such great, you know, childhood memories, and it's like, but then what if the future is just amazing? You know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I would want to keep my memories, you know. Mm. I'm like, as of now, I'm fine with everything, you know. So I don't need any more long-term.
I wouldn't mind forgetting last year. I wouldn't mind forgetting the last 4 years.
There we go.
That's true.
But okay.
And then we asked, this is the last question we ask this to all of our guests. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, creator, artist, that is not in the mainstream
that you think people need to know about and deserves more shine from the industry?
Yeah, yeah. I have like 10 of them. You know?
Yep. Let's name them. Fire them off.
Well, first is Kevin Barnett. If you haven't heard of Kevin Barnett, look up Kevin Barnett. He's one of the funniest dudes that has ever graced the stage, and a brilliant writer. He punched up literally, you know, so many good scripts of recent memory, and he's just one of the best dudes I've ever known. Number two, his name is James the Third. He's a wonderful writer and a dope comedian. He had a show with his homies called Astronomy Club on Netflix.
What's his name show? Kenya show, right? Kenya Barris? Yeah.
My girl, Hadia Robinson. She's the shit. Dope writer and Hadia. Everything she does is just great. And I'll always like refer people to her if they need a writer. And then you got Ellington Wells, another. She's sick. Me and Ellington kind of have the same, you know, kind of wavelength. Actually, our frequencies are the same when it comes to comedy. I love her so much. She's so funny. And I would hire her in a heartbeat for any project that I'm doing. Got Liz McGee. We worked together on the All That reboot, and every single one of her sketches, Murdered in the Room, every single one of them were so iconic. Like her and those kids have such a special bond on that show. The kids love her. Liz is dope. I can even go even deeper than that. Like real quick, let me just give a shout out to a couple people that deserve shout out. I've always been like a fan of like Keith David has always been like one of my favorite people, and like Keith David growing up was like one of my favorite actors and voice actors. He did Spawn, Gargoyles. He was the dad and something about
Mary. I forgot he did Gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
Another classic cartoon. Yes.
It's on Disney Plus.
Okay.
I'm a big ass nerd, yo.
Oh, wow. I forgot he did that.
I do deep cuts. And then you got Bokeem Woodbine, who's kind of coming. He's having
Bokeem. Yeah. Bokeem definitely deserves to be.
I gotta go even further than that. Eartha Kitt, I know she's passed away, but
Eartha Kitt
is one of a kind.
Shout out Eartha Kitt. Yes.
I first heard of her from Emperor's New Groove when I was a kid.
Emperor's New Groove.
Ka-dunk, ka-dunk. That's Eartha Kitt right there, man. Love her.
Yeah.
I'll do one more. Let's see. One person I'm so proud of right now that's, just kind of just like really building this new phase in his life and career is Steven Yeun.
He's been on our podcast. I love Steven. I love Steven.
Yeah. We had kids around the same time. Sorry to bother you.
Yes.
I'm always connected with that dude. And lastly, Sonoya Mizuno. She was in Ex Machina, Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love her. Yeah. Is she on Devs? Right?
I think so.
That FX show? I want to say. I may be wrong. Edit that out if I'm wrong.
But yeah.
She's amazing. We're doing a movie together with Dakota Johnson, and she's just straight up like, I've always, when I do a film, I always one person I truly like kind of am tethered to. And we're sorry to bother you with Steven Yeun.
Coming to America.
Coming to America is Kiki Layne.
Yes.
Yeah. Love Kiki. Oh God.
We need to get her on the podcast.
And you saw Minotti, I'm guessing, already. Have you seen Minotti?
Yeah. I got that screener. I'm so proud of him. I'm glad Judas and the Black Messiah and Minari are really getting the
deal. Oh my God. That movie got me. Ugh.
Yeah. And you're in that movie too. Nice. Cool. Yeah, you're having a good year. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great projects.
Thank you. I love what I do. I just want to tell some good stories. That's all.
Yeah. Well, we enjoy them. Like I said, Coming to America out March 5th. Yes. When does Judas come out?
Is it out already?
It's out.
Oh, it's out. It's okay.
So, yeah,
yeah. 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 Okay. So you guys, that's another great one. Daniel Kaluuya kills that performance.
Dominique,
everybody. Lakeith. You're another one of your Sorry to Bother You co-stars. Yeah. You just work with some good people.
I'm sorry to bother you.
Yes. He's like, well, congrats on everything.
Yes.
Definitely can't wait to see what else you have, what all you have in store.
The Coming to America sequel. That's going to happen after this one.
We're manifesting
that.
We're manifesting it. And Little Richie too. Little Richie.
Little Richard. Yes.
Let's go. Richard.
How to get that in there.
Thank you so much, Jermaine.
Thank you so much, Jermaine.
Thank you for having time for us.
Oh, hey, please, anytime. I'll love to come back anytime.
Yes.
Of course.
Hopefully we'll do it in person. You can come to the studio.
Yeah. Once this Rona goes away.
Yes. Getting the Roma. All right. Thank you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.